Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, for those who saw the announcements of our show this week on the Paracast forums, I will say right now that we're not talking to Brian Young about boxing, except for one aspect, Brian, and that is I once had a conversation many, many, many years ago with Muhammad Ali.
Well,
are you jealous yet?
I'm very jealous. I only had the pleasure of meeting the champ a couple times, and it was fairly late in the stages of his affliction.
This was in the 70s when he was at his prime, and I asked him about his UFO sighting.
Yeah, he was very adamant about that.
Oh, yeah. So that was the one time, and I got to talk to him, courtesy of a friend, a former friend, because he's no longer around, of Tim's and myself, Tim Beckley, who knew Ali.
That's how I met the wonderful Tim Schwartz, through Mr. UFO himself, Tim Beckley.
Ah, yes. Now, looking at your background here, Brian Young, do you ever get into UFO studies, or are you more focused on boxing and Victorian crime?
Okay, so here's the thing. I grew up in the 70s. So I grew up in the greatest era of paranormal research and television series and In Search Of. To me, Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of, not Star Trek. I know that's going to bother you. You know, all those great documentaries on UFOs and Bigfoot. And I became obsessed with the paranormal as a kid. And then went to work in my late teens, early 20s. For the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, the original PSYCOP. So I went on the other end of it in my early 20s, but always maintained a fascination in all things paranormal and strange.
So you worked for the opposition, in other words?
I wasn't a field researcher for them. I mean, it was my late teens. I worked in their mailroom. But yes, technically I worked for them.
You were one of them.
I was, and it was great being one of them because I got to meet people like Carl Sagan and Daniel Cohen and Isaac Asimov. So, yeah, working for them was pretty cool.
Well, Isaac Asimov, I met him at some sci-fi conventions, and he was so much fun. You think this guy's a serious writer, and he gets on there, and he's the life of the party when he lectures. Or did lecture, because he's not doing it unless you have a Ouija board to contact him.
Yeah, well, even then, he messes with you. Yeah, and even then, he might mess with you a little bit.
Okay, so when did you leave PSYCOP and become a member of the dark side? Excuse me, the dark side.
Well, I've never been on either side. I am a skeptic, wholehearted skeptic, but not a debunker. I have a fascination with the paranormal, but tend not to have ever had anything that made me believe in it, but love it. I've had one what you could call UFO sighting, but I don't think of it as a UFO. Everybody else I've told it to does. So I'm a historian and I'm a researcher, and, you know, like you said earlier in the introduction, Victorian crime, Victorian poverty, boxing history. I put out a book last year on pro wrestling history, which is not one of my specialties, but the wrestlers, masters of the craft of professional wrestling, available at all fine booksellers. You can get that. But one of the things that always fascinated and interested me was still UFOs, cryptids, the paranormal. So when I started hosting my own history podcast, I started mixing it in a little bit, mixing in some hard, serious history, paranormal stuff. So I don't know if you could say I'm on either side. I'm the neutral skeptic.
It certainly keeps you out of trouble. I'll tell you that.
It does, and it's so much fun being the neutral skeptic because I have really upset some people in the paranormal world, and then I've upset some skeptics. I've gotten hate mail from both sides, and that's an accomplishment.
You are, as they say, an equal opportunity offender.
Absolutely. That's why I'm friends with Tim Schwartz.
Okay, let me just focus then on something here. From the paranormal, UFOs particularly, how did you get to Victorian crime?
Like I said, growing up in the 70s, in 1988, I was the perfect age for someone to become obsessed with a topic, and it happened to be the 100th anniversary of the Jack the Ripper murder. So there were documentaries in books and radio shows, and it was everywhere, and I was at that age where I absorbed it all, and it became this lifelong fascination and obsession. And most people who get into, I don't like to call it ripperology, I hate that term. It almost sounds like you're glorifying the killer when that's not what it's about. When you get into that, you start learning about Victorian history and the poverty of the area of the time, and how the greatest city in the world had the poorest sections of the world. And you just get sucked into that Victorian English period, and you start, hopefully, as most people grow, they develop other interests, and they spread their wings a little bit. And that's where my fascination with history spread out from there. The boxing thing is because I remember being 4 years old, and my father and his father and a friend of his were at the house watching a fight, and I was just riveted. I've never seen anything like it, and from that day on, I was a huge boxing nut. Even when I was a history nerd.
Just a quick question, it may be personal. I assume this is not your day job.
Oh, you're telling me I'm bad at it, huh? No. I would love my day job to be a historian. And I think most people out there who are historians and writers can tell you, it's really tough to make a living at it. I work a day job, unfortunately. And then I spend all my waking hours doing research and writing and, doing my show. But I have a constant thirst for knowledge. And the paranormal is part of that because it's questions you can't answer. You just don't know. And you can always learn something more about it. You can't just outright deny everything. That's what I hate about the debunkers. A skeptic looks for answers. A debunker is not a skeptic.
So what is the day job? I'm not clear.
Oh, my day job is I work for a Fortune 100 company. I don't know if I should talk about them on the air.
They may not like it.
No, they probably wouldn't. It's an office job. It's a very normal, very serious office job.
So by day, you are a normal working guy trying to make a buck in this very crazy, screwed up world. By night, you become a paranormal researcher. You notice how it goes down an octave. A paranormal researcher.
Yeah, by night, he befriends people like Tim Beckley.
Well, listen, it's a way to keep out of trouble, I'll tell you that. I want to ask you about our fascination with serial killers in general and the legends or the reality behind Jack the Ripper in our next segment and what attracted you to the subject, other, of course, than Victorian crime and everything like that. We've got Brian Young joining us, and this is going to be a show that focuses away on things we've normally done. Tim Schwartz is our co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Maybe we should have here Tim do some kind of fake British accent if we're going to cover Victorian crime. But then that accent may be a crime.
True.
Brian Young is our guest, and he, amongst other things, covers boxing, covers the paranormal, covers Victorian crime. We have a fascination in general with serial killers. Is there a reasoning behind that?
Well, personally, I blame my mother. And no, my mother was not a serial killer. But my mother was a true crime fan. And I grew up and my mother was always reading true crime books and watching true crime specials on TV. The dark side fascinates people. And serial killers are about as dark side as you can get. There are people who just focus in on all forms of serial killers and will just learn everything about them and become obsessed with them and get into serial killer culture. In fact, there's a great filmmaker, John Bukowski, out of Chicago, who's made several documentaries about historical serial killers, and he did a TV series called Serial Killer Culture, which talks about people's obsessions and fascination. To me, it's the unsolved crimes that fascinate me. I think it's the researcher in me that wants to find the answers to these riddles, which I think is what a lot of paranormal researchers are into. They want answers that we don't know. So for me, I am far more interested in a crime like the Jack the Ripper killings than I am about Ted Bundy or John Wayne Gacy or people that were contemporaries that, you know, I remember them getting arrested or Jeffrey Dahmer. To me, it's the mystery. It's the riddle. It's who was this? Why did it happen? So personally, that's my reason for being interested in the topic. As far as other people, look, the dark side of life is appealing. And we're fascinated by what scares us. That's why horror movies are such a big deal in society and always have been.
Now, when it comes to horror movies, just as our listeners know, I prefer the ones with atmosphere rather than trying to gross you out with blood and gore. So the old Universal films. I mean, people were frightened in those days over Dracula, which is so tame by comparison. But you know what's going to happen. You can see in your mind's eye what's going to happen, but you never see it on the screen. And the same thing is true with Frankenstein's monster. The Wolfman, you did see him take a bite out of people. You just didn't see all the gore.
And that's the thing. They were atmospheric. Your mind had to think. I love old horror radio drama. I'm a big radio drama fan. Old radio shows, not just dramas, but detective shows, crime shows, horror anthologies. I love them because you become the director. Your brain fills in all those gaps and details. And you're right, movies that just throw everything at you, they might be fun to watch while eating popcorn and laugh, but, you know, you forget about them.
Remember, radio is the theater of the mind. And
it is.
That's not the main reason why we don't have a video version of this show. The main reason is that I have a face for radio, so it suits me.
I do, too. Isn't it wonderful? My podcast is audio only, even though I have the video capability, because no one wants to look at this mug.
Well, your mother does, I assume.
Yeah, but remember, she's a true crime fan.
Okay. Let's go to Jack the Ripper. Was there really a Jack the Ripper, or was that all stuff of fiction?
I believe there was a Jack the Ripper. I understand the theories that there wasn't. A lot of people believe it was a... The media made it up. Well, the media made up Jack the Ripper. You know, I don't believe there was a letter written claiming to be from Jack the Ripper to the press. I believe, you know, pretty innovative journalists made that up because it's a name that stuck with us over 100 years. Pretty intelligent, pretty brilliant. But yes, I do believe there was a killer in the East End of London in 1888, in the autumn of 1888. Who I believe is responsible for the death of at least four people, possibly up to seven. Most people assume there were five that are called the canonical five. They're the ones most people agree on. I agree on four of them. And I think, yeah, I think there was a killer, which now we would call a serial killer. It wasn't a term that was used then, that was active in the poorer sections of London in 1880, targeting. I also don't like to use the word, like I said, a ripperologist. I don't like to use prostitute. When everyone says, you know, he targeted prostitutes, well, yes and no. In your mind, when you hear the term prostitute, you think of a professional, you know, a lady of the evening, someone who does this for a living. These were not professional prostitutes. These were people that were so poor and destitute, they were selling themselves so they could pay rent money for the night, or so they could eat. The conditions were so terrible, most of them were alcoholics. They'd make money and spend it on booze and then have to go back out for pennies so they could have a bed at night or something to eat. So I don't like to refer to them as prostitutes. It gives the wrong impression. They really were these very unfortunate women who were in a terrible situation, and it made Jack's work easy. Sort of like today, where prostitutes are easy prey. It was even easier then because these weren't even prostitutes. These were essentially destitute, homeless people. Very easy prey for a killer. And I believe what we know of today as the serial killer was born then.
So you could say they were sex workers out of necessity rather than to enrich themselves.
Yes, it was necessity, not, I hate to even say a career choice, but it was more of a necessity.
Now,
that's who he targeted.
Sure. Now, it's normal, unfortunately, in this society for people to be murdered. And somebody who exposes themselves on the street, I mean, without clothing, I mean, is present on the street for extended periods of time, may be a target by someone. So at what point do we look at the Jack the Ripper stories and decide this is a serial killer, this is somebody who is seeking for whatever reason to do away with these women? At what point does it become a more involved episode rather than, for example, just an occasional crime that could have many, many different causes? We're going to find out more about the legends and reality of Jack the Ripper with Brian and Tim and Gene. You're in
the Podcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News.
Police in Chesapeake, Virginia released the note written by Andre Bing sometime before he fatally shot six people at the Walmart where he worked before turning the gun on himself. The gun used during the Tuesday night incident was purchased legally. Adobe says $9.12 billion was spent online during Black Friday, setting a new record. Sales were up overall on the first day of the holiday shopping season. Early voting has begun in Georgia, with all eyes on the Senate race between Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. Award-winning actress and singer Irene Cara has died at her Florida home. The voice behind Fame and Flashdance What a Feeling was 63 years old. The World Cup is bringing record viewership to Spanish-language broadcasts on Telemundo and the streaming service Peacock. Mexico's win Tuesday was the most streamed World Cup game in U.S. history. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Brian, before we go on with Jack the Ripper, is there anything paranormal about this, or if this guy existed, he was just a killer?
Personally, I believe he was just a killer. There are people who tend to think there was some more esoteric things involved, like maybe he was looking for the elixir of life, maybe, you know, the whole woo-woo stuff. But no, it was he was a serial killer who was targeted.
Okay, at what point, then, do we think that there is one person involved rather than just some random killings?
The level of damage done to these victims, it grew with each case. And it was obviously was mutilating. He was targeting. A lot of people throughout history were claiming they were sex crimes, but I don't think they were, because it wasn't a targeted sex crime. It was almost more of a trophy.
What do you mean by trophy crime?
He was taking different parts of the body. He was exposing the bodies. He was posing them in a way. He was eviscerating them. It was meant to create shock and awe. And there were missing parts of each body.
Well, wasn't there one newspaper that actually received a portion of one of the victims' liver through the mail?
Actually, it was a kidney.
Kidney,
yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't a newspaper. It was the head of the Vigilance Committee, which was like a community watch group, for lack of a better term. You know, a bunch of people who decided we're going to go out, we're going to patrol the streets. The head of that group got a kidney sent to him, half of a kidney, with a letter saying the other half he'd fried and eaten, and it was from the dead woman. Well, the dead woman's kidney was missing. Unfortunately, in 1888, we couldn't verify If it was a man or woman's kidney, we couldn't verify if it was that person's kidney. The medical technology didn't exist. A lot of people, there are people that think it was a sick prank from a newspaper guy to get more attention. If any of the correspondence and letters were legit, that's probably the one. Because, you know, there was a kidney attached, and wouldn't be too surprising that a guy who was killing people like this would may have eaten part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you wouldn't expect just anybody to be, you know, posting parts of kidneys.
No, and
at that time period.
Yeah, this isn't like, you know, rapid mail service either. It would have stunk by the time it came. But there was half of a human kidney set in a package to George Lusk.
Was that was the one that was it started to hell from Mr. Lusk to from yes. Hell to Mr. Lusk, yes.
Yes, from hell.
And there were other letters that were sent to other people, the reporters, I think, that actually the writer called himself Jack the Ripper. But I know that as time has gone by, there's been doubt cast that these were legitimate, you know, from the actual source.
Yeah, there were hundreds, actually. There was a phenomenal book that was put out a few years back. It's a coffee table book. Huge book. Filled with the reprints of hundreds of these letters that were sent. Most people assume none of them were legitimate. If there was, it was probably the From Hell letter.
And what was it about these cases? Now, you know, murder in London at that time was nothing new. What was it about these cases that you know, really garnered all of the attention? And I'm sure that, you know, multiple murders, possibly by one individual, wasn't anything new either.
I'm so glad you asked that question. Because it was, think of the time, it was 1888. The newspaper boom was happening. The masses were getting information in several languages. London was the largest city in the world with a huge influx of foreigners. There was mass panic that these foreigners were going to come. Sound familiar, people? These foreigners are going to come to your home and they're going to start killing and raping and murdering, and it's going to be terrible. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, now, the fact that this was a high crime, high poverty area is a little bit misleading when you think about murder, because there weren't that many murders. Especially that were this violent. So all of a sudden, media massively reports. It becomes, like we have today, a 24-hour news cycle. You're just inundated with it. The public is told about it. Newspapers around the world are picking this up and writing about it because, hey, there's this thing called the Telegraph. And the United States is printing articles about Jack the Ripper the day after the killings happen. It was a media explosion with paranoid people at the time being fed hatred about foreigners, which was one of the main theories for many years in London, was that it was these terrible foreigners coming in. And it was just a perfect storm. You're looking at mass media, you're looking at mass panic, you're looking at the Telegraph, in a fairly literate society, so they could all read it. And if they couldn't, someone they knew would read it to them. And it just exploded.
So what was the first case that you can safely assume could be attributed to Jack?
First one, okay, that's very tough to say because there was a case that's not considered one of the main five that, in retrospect, it looks like may have been Jack. But I would say if you want to be safe, the first victim that was more than likely Jack was Marianne Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Annie Chapman. The next one was the night of the double event, two murders in one night, Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Eddowes. The final killing of Mary Kelly, I'm one of the people in the camp that don't believe that was actually a Ripper victim.
Hmm.
It doesn't fit the MO of the other ones. It was done indoors. She was much younger than the other victims. Granted, a lot of people say it was much more brutal and horrid because he had time, because he was indoors and he could do what he wanted. It seemed like a much more personal attack on someone. Whoever killed Mary Kelly, I believe, knew her. The Elizabeth Stride murder, the first of the double event, he was interrupted. He had slit the woman's throat in an alley. A horse and buggy came into that alley and startled him. The horse even must have seen something because the horse was startled and ran. And when the guy put his lantern on, there was a woman. The wound was still bleeding. He didn't have time to do anything else. He went and found another victim to fulfill his.
That's why we're here with Brian, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming?
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are exploring the legends and reality of Jack the Ripper, going back to Victorian London. And our special guest of the show is Brian Young. Let's continue, Brian. Go ahead.
Sure. Where do you want me to pick up? You tell me. You ask me a question.
Well, no, finish up about the, you're talking about the interrupted crime. That one's gotten a lot of attention because not only was that one interrupted, but then somebody else was killed then later on that evening.
Yes, later on that evening, Catherine Eddowes was killed. And the interesting thing is that Catherine Eddowes was actually killed in the city of London proper. So, that murder, he jumped into a different police force. So, all the murders up to that point, including Elizabeth Stride, were the jurisdiction of the Metropolitan Police. Catherine Eddowes murdered under the jurisdiction of the City of London Police. Further complicating things, because to this day, when two police forces are working together, things get askew and they don't work well together. But that's the moment, I think, that night with the two was when people started putting together, this is one person. This is a serial killer. That's when the sensationalism started. That's when the legends and lore, and I'm sure that's when parents started telling kids all over the world, don't go out at night, Jack the Ripper will get you. That's when the legend was born, and it's stayed with us ever since then.
All right, I want to backtrack really quick. You had mentioned that there was a case that's not part of the canon.
There's a few.
When I asked about, you know, what could have been the first one, What was that case? I'm interested in that one.
That was the case of a woman who was attacked and was brutalized, went to the hospital, actually survived that night, but died of her wounds later. So it's tough to say. She didn't really give any information. It was brutal. It fit with the crimes. But she didn't die until later, which doesn't fit with the MO of this killer. But this is first attempt and she got away. Most people who know serial killers, they tend to get worse. They learn from their mistakes.
which is why I think a lot of people still think that that last case that you would refer to, where the woman was basically taken apart piece by piece in the room, is, you know, what was a Jack the Ripper case. And there are photographs.
Horrible. I don't recommend anybody look them up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's amazing that in, you know, 1888, that there were photographs taken of this killing. And it's, you know, I mean, you know, very, very unique with everything else that had been going on, you know, with the Ripper killings.
And that's another thing that, that led to the fascination in this case. You're talking about the early days of photography.
Mm-hmm.
You have mortuary photos of the victims. You have crime scene photographs. This had never happened to the public before. We have never seen these things. Granted, they weren't made public at the time, but all the new technology added to these legends and lore. I don't believe the lad Mary Kelly was a Ripper. I mean, he very well could have been. I don't claim to be the world's expert. Nobody is, because we'll never know the answer. Actually, I take that back. There is one way we will find out for sure who Jack the Ripper was. Time travel. Don't do it. We get that time machine invented, we'll figure it out.
Well, over the years, okay, you've had all these different, you know, researchers and authors. Everyone has a different idea on the identity of Jack the Ripper. I mean, what are the chances that he was somebody that nobody has ever considered, and, you know, I mean, he's just, you know, disappeared into history?
The unknown local. That's a very popular candidate. It makes sense if you think about it. You know, what are the odds that it just happens to be someone famous enough that we know?
Right.
There are hundreds of suspects over the years. Books have been written about several of them. Several that we can just completely and totally erase from the suspect list. They're just insane theories. For instance, did you know there is a theory that the Jack the Ripper was Joseph Merrick, the Elephant Man?
No, I hadn't heard that one.
And ironically, this is wonderful. Ironically, he's a much better suspect than 90% of the other suspects ever mentioned, because he was there at that time in that neighborhood, right across the street in the London Hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
He was there. He was there in 1888. So, he fits the profile better than a lot of suspects because he was there. For instance, you know, Prince Eddie. A lot of people love the royal conspiracy because it's such a sexy conspiracy. The royals were involved and the queen covered it. Except he wasn't in the country for most of the killings. And he is an alibi for the other ones. Yes, he's off the list, folks.
What about the ideas that it the person doing it appeared to have medical training?
There's a lot of infighting. I'm sure in the paranormal world, you know what infighting is like between different fractions.
No, not at all.
No. Well, the Ripper world is exactly the same way. It's all infighting.
How can you say there is infighting in the UFO field? When has there ever not been infighting? I mean, infighting is our middle name in this field.
Although it does help us progress, doesn't it? Because we all want to prove the other one's wrong. But there's a lot of people who say, yes, there was anatomical knowledge. Other people say, no, he was literally a ripper. He was just ripping and cutting. Look, let's think about this logic. And like I said, I'm a skeptic, remember. I'm the first one to deny things if there's no evidence. He was removing organs from people within the matter of a few minutes in pitch blackness. There were no street lights. I mean, very minimal street lights. The street lights that were there at the time were terrible. Yet he was able to get the organs he wanted. and eviscerate these people and do things to the bodies. Does that mean he was a doctor with anatomical knowledge? No, he could have been a pig slaughterer or a horse slaughterer or any other, you know, butcher. You know the general area. Whoever it was, they knew what they were doing with a knife. I'll say that. Doctor, maybe. Definitely knew what they were doing with a knife, and they had a base knowledge of anatomy.
Who are some of the other popular candidates that have been suggested over the years?
Some of the biggest ones. Aaron Kosminski. In fact, Aaron Kosminski became really big and popular as a suspect again recently because someone purchased a shawl that supposedly belonged to one of the victims that was at the crime scene. And for, you know, millions of pounds or whatever they paid for it. And then they had DNA analysis done on the shawl, and it found DNA belonging to the victim and Aaron Kosminski. Case closed. Because the shawl was never at the crime scene. Everything at these crime scenes was meticulously documented. This shawl would have been a very expensive piece of clothing. The woman who the shawl was hawked her husband's work boots the night before so they could pay rent. She's not going to be wearing, you know, $1,000 shawl. B, the fabrics and materials used in said shawl were Edwardian, not Victorian. They came later. C, it had never been behind glass or taken care of, and had been handled by thousands of people, and they were able to pull those two strings of DNA off it. Ironic. Also, those DNA tests were never peer-reviewed, never double-blind checked, never even tested at a second lab.
Hey, let's do more of this. The evidence for Jack the Ripper with Gene and Brian and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.